Come, let us adore him. I don't know why that's only a Christmas song. I think we should sing that all year long, but for some reason it's a Christmas song. But it seems like a great worship song, amen? It's just a song that every time it comes around Christmas, I'm like, you know, I miss that song. That seems like that should be just a good worship song. Let's come and adore him, amen? You may be seated. We'd like to welcome our guests here tonight. If you're watching online or if you're here live in the service, we have a little card we'd like you to fill out, and we'd like to just connect with you and tell you a little bit about us, and you could tell us a little bit about you, and maybe get connected to some of our small groups in our church. And that would be that could be found in the usher's kiosk in the back, or you can just connect on a digital version there at CGC Connection on that Bitly link. We have some giving options tonight. Sometimes we just kind of read through this stuff because we don't have the plate to pass, so we kind of rush. I was just thinking tonight when I looked down at these giving options, I was like, you know, Jesus was a holy child because his entire life was dedicated to the service of God. Things that are holy are things that are dedicated to God. We can dedicate this sanctuary to God. It becomes a holy building. It's just normal sheetrock and carpet, but it becomes holy unto God when we dedicate it to God. Our lives can be holy, dedicated to God when we give active service to God. It's our time, our talent, our treasure. Those things we can dedicate to God in holy service. And one of those things is our tithes and our offerings. It's weird. It doesn't make sense. It's just like normal carpet, normal sheetrock, but our money is the same way. It's just money. It's just a transfer. It's a deposit. It's just a check. But when we pull a part of that aside and we dedicate that to God, something happens. Part of it becomes holy, dedicated to God. And, you know, holy things matter, amen? Holy Bibles, holy sanctuaries. I feel like that our tithes and our offerings are also holy to God. When we dedicate them to God, they become something more than what they were. And so tonight we just invite you to different ways to give here. You can give online at Madison, cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person by dropping off a check or cash in that little clear box in the kiosk, or you can give by mail, or you can use the new app, Mobile Giving, and sign up with Church Center. And those are our four ways to give tonight. At this time, I'd like to give one more announcement just to talk about our schedule coming up in the final holiday schedule. Just some reminders that this Friday is our Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock. So it's at 5, a little different time than our normal. So 5 o'clock this Friday, and it won't be very long, so don't be late. Be early, okay? So we'll be out of here pretty early that night. This Sunday, there's only one service. It's at 10 a.m. There won't be any children's classes. Just come directly to the sanctuary, and that will also not be a real long service. And we'll be in and out so you guys can get back to family if they're in town and other things like that. There is no midweek service next Wednesday. Some people have asked if there was service tonight, and there obviously is. But next Wednesday, there's not a midweek service, so you'll be able to take that time and spend with your family. And New Year's Eve service is going to be at 8 o'clock, so another little different time. But 8 o'clock, New Year's Eve, that'll be hosted by Voces Unidas and AIM. And they don't plan on being real late. There's also, I believe, going to be a potluck fellowship. And so you can bring a dish to pass, and they'll be in the, using the fellowship hall for that. At this time, Sister Martha, where'd she go? Oh, there you are. I was looking for you sitting in your chair. I last talked to you. She has a presentation for Bible quizzing tonight.
So first of all, everything. First of all, let's do the video, the Christmas tree video, and then I'll come back.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
It turned out the wiser smelled right, but the most fools pour out foolishness.
The
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
So, we had three mystery quoters who quoted verses this month and sent me a video with those three mystery quoters. Please come up. So, at the beginning of the month, I guess it was in November, there you go. Are you staying to quote? So, what's in those bags? Can you guys tell me what's in that bag? Cookies, yes, indeed. So, we're looking for more quoters and more videos next month. So, to kick off our verses for next month, we made another video. It's called the You Can Do It video. So, I'll come back after this one.
Proverbs 3:5. Trust.
You can do it.
Some trust in chariots.
You can do it, Mom.
No, not chariots. Trust in your mom and dad.
You can do it.
Trust in cookies.
You can do it.
Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine. Can you help me?
You can do it!
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
You can do it!
In all thy ways, acknowledge. Now, where's that come?
So there's our next challenge. We're starting now, and we have QR codes somewhere. We'll get better at that. We'll have a QR code to get to the music. So we're going to do this one, I think, through January because it's the end of December. So we're doing Proverbs 3:5-7. If you will send me a video of you quoting, we can get you in the video and make it exciting, and you'll be a superstar and all that stuff. So join us for the next challenge, Proverbs 3:5-7, and exercise that brain muscle, learn the word of God, you'll never regret it. That's all I have to say about it.
Let's all stand, go to the Lord in prayer. Just a quick reminder, if you did or you didn't, get one of those envelopes from the Christmas for Christ presentation in the back of, in the vestibule. They had a dollar amount to give for Christmas for Christ. Those funds go to support church planting efforts in our state and in our nation. And so if you would like to give to that, there's still time to give. You can just use the app if you don't have an envelope. The envelope is not super important, okay? So if you have a dollar amount in mind that you'd like to give, you can always do that between now and Christmas. That'd be awesome. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. So many people I know have come down with COVID again. It's been crazy. Whole family in Stevens Point, the whole entire clan, they all got it again. So some people are in their second, third round. So I don't know. This is nuts. But we want to pray for everybody because it's still a very dangerous thing. And for certain folks with weakened immune systems and previous sicknesses and things like that. So we want to pray for all those folks that we know. And also our medical field, as we start to hear again that our hospitals are starting to fill up at similar at this time last year. And so we want to pray for all of those that are feeling extra amounts of stress due to COVID, kind of having another little bump in the map. So we want to pray if anyone else has any special needs, would you just lift your hand in faith, believing that God is going to do something miraculous tonight and touch every single need that's represented here. As you go and visit your family members, it's important that you are a light into those that are lost and those that are needing Jesus still. Let's just pray that God will open up those doors also this week for outreach and evangelism and maybe save some of your family members in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you're doing here tonight, Lord Jesus, in this sanctuary, God. We come together here to worship you and to praise your name, Lord God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch every single one of these that are affected by COVID, mentally, physically, spiritually, God, or those that are dealing with extra stress at work, all the different aspects that have come in to plague our nation, God, and our families, God, have been through this Christmas season. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would somehow provide protection for those in need protection, God. You would make a way where there seems to be no way, Lord God. I ask you, God, to bless those that are struggling with financial situations through this holiday season, struggling with family situations, God, struggling with different wrestlings, oh God, in their own mind, oh God, as winter starts to set in, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll bless every person here tonight, oh God, that has a need, Lord Jesus, every sickness, every disease, God, you can heal it, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless your children tonight, Lord, with the word of God, Lord Jesus. We just come before you and we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Is the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man
King of glory. Your presence, heaven, turn me close. presence of the Lord, church. Feel such a sweet presence of His Spirit here tonight. Thank you so very much, ladies. It's good to see Sister Margaret. Aka back. She's home for the holidays. She's been going to Beloit College down in Beloit. It's just so good to see you again and have you home. You could be seated this evening. And I have a little Christmas message for us tonight. That's all right with you. We have a Christmas service, Christmas Eve, and that'll be a little different message than tonight. But how many of you are familiar, how many of you like Christmas songs? Like you turn on, I've got one of those Bluetooth devices in my office at home, and I like to go in there in the evening and got a little fire going, and it's just so nice and cozy and comfortable to sit there in front of the fire and listening to Christmas music. And the other day I was listening, and the song that was playing was "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." How many of you, I don't even know what the name of the song is. It says, "There'll be much mistletoeing, and candles are glowing with loved ones are near. It's the happiest season of all." And I began to think about all of this, and it's just like, wow, I can't believe that, like, in a couple days it's Christmas already. And it just seems like it was just here. I don't know about the rest of you, but this last year, this has just gone by so very fast. I began to think about the Christmas traditions. How many of you families have Christmas traditions? I mean, you have to have a certain kind of a Christmas cookie, or Christmas you have to have, you know, cranberry, a certain cranberry sauce has to be on the table, or you have to have you have to open your gifts at a certain time, and all of this. So we all have Christmas traditions. I'm sure that many of you, because I've gone into our office complex and I've seen trays of cookies sitting in there. I know that the Brown family has got together and they've already made their traditional Christmas cookies, because I had one of those pretzels that have caramel and chocolate and an M&M on top of it, and they were sitting in there so tempting, I just had to have one. So we look at all of these Christmas traditions. My wife and I, we every year for a number of years now, it's been 20 plus years, I guess, that we've made peanut brittle, the old church recipe that we used to just love, still do love. The recipe is still available. And if you'd like to make Christmas peanut brittle, my wife and I, we get together with Kristen and her kids and my daughter and grandkids and the Wellses, and we just all get together and make Christmas peanut brittle. And I know as far as our family goes, I remember, as long as I can remember, we've opened gifts on Christmas Eve. And I began to think about that. How many of your families, how many of you open gifts on Christmas Eve? How many of you just do it on Christmas Day? Can I give you a little advice on Christmas Day? If you open them on Christmas Eve, parents, the kids have their gifts on Christmas Eve, and they don't wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning wanting to know, can we open gifts? And I think my parents learned this a long time ago, that if we let the boys open the gifts up on Christmas Eve, around 10 o'clock at night or so, it seemed to be when we would open them. It was always a little bit later. And then Mom and Dad would go to bed, and we'd play with their presents and our toys all night long, and we would sleep in, and they would be able to sleep in. So it's just a suggestion. Kids coming in, jumping in on the bed. And another Christmas tradition that a lot of us have is Christmas movies. How many of you sit down at Christmas and your Christmas, you have your own special Christmas movie that your family, maybe it's a Hallmark movie that you like. Our family, it seemed like every year, now this is years ago, but every year we would trek down to Dane County Library, what was right off of the square, and they had those big 16 millimeter reels. And the church had bought, we were like technologically advanced. The church owned its own 16-millimeter projector. And we would take that home for the Christmas, and we would go downtown, and we would get Laurel and Hardy, March of the Wooden Soldiers. Some of you remember those days. You didn't have videos back. This was before VHS came out. Some of you are looking at, like, what's VHS? This was before CDs, before MP. I mean, this was before memory chips, beta. You had the beta. And so we'd march down there, and we would come back and lug those big, huge, heavy reels of 16-millimeter, and we would sit down at Christmas Eve, and we would watch a classic, It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you have ever watched It's a Wonderful Life? I don't know if you know much about It's a Wonderful Life. This isn't really a sermon on It's a Wonderful Life, but I was kind of curious. It was 75 years ago that this movie was released, that it premiered. And it actually was kind of a bomb. It didn't do real well. And it was released on December 20th, 1946. So the movie was shot during the summer of 1946, which kind of explains, I guess, in some of the scenes that they were in a winter scene, but the actors were sweating and wiping sweat off of their faces. But you would have thought, if you knew much about the movie or if you've ever watched the movie, that Bedford Falls was in upstate New York somewhere, and it was full-blown winter. But Frank Capra, the director of the movie, who was an engineer by training, he wasn't a movie producer by trade, but he was an engineer, he had created a new kind of snow for movies. And this was like cutting-edge technology. It was a mixture of fire extinguisher foam and cornflake cereal. So the movie initially, it bombed in the box office, so it ended up as a Christmas time classic that is watched every year around the world. It's got some good stuff in that movie if you've ever watched it. Some good values that we can pull out of it. One of the favorite scenes is for the movies when George Bailey, he was one of the key actors in the movie, played by Jimmy Stewart. Remember the part where he begins to pray? He says, "Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me." Of course, this is where Clarence comes in. Remember Clarence in the movie? So truthfully, he begins to pray, and he starts crying, and he says, "Show me the way. Show me the way." You'll have to check the movie out or go home on Netflix and watch it if you've never watched it. But I think truthfully, when you think of that, I think that's what God is trying to do for all of his children. He's just trying to show us the way. Show us the way. The movie actually, it contains many what I would just call valuable life lessons, and it's probably not a bad tradition if your family sits down every year and watches It's a Wonderful Life. I think about timeless messages and timeless traditions, and I don't think you can get any more timeless of a tradition or timeless of a message than the original Christmas story itself. It just seems like as the years go by and as the Christmases click by, that the Christmas story you hear less and less and less and less. So I just want to take and I just want to talk a little bit tonight. This is more of an instructional message, I guess, than anything else. We do have our Christmas Eve message that we're going to cover a little bit more, get a little bit more. But tonight I just want to talk for a little bit. Titling tonight's message is When You're Chasing a Star, But Find a Stable. I'm certain if you look into the Christmas story, if you looked into it, you had an opportunity to talk to Mary, opportunity to talk to Joseph. Their lives weren't going as they had planned. So Mary wasn't at all imagining what was happening in her life was happening in her life. And just imagine yourself in her place, an angel appearing to her, telling her that she's going to carry the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that she's pregnant. Had given her a promise, but didn't really give her a whole lot of details. It's not like Mary knew all of the details and everything that was going to happen. It's not like she could go to her doctor and get an ultrasound and all of this kind of stuff. So she had been given a promise. Not much details, and sometimes I guess maybe it's better in a position or a situation like that not to make assumptions, because sometimes we can assume things and we can be very wrong in our assumptions. I'm sure she thought that she's going to have a baby, and a baby as important as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that it's going to be somewhat of a large event, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to be there and are going to be there, and it's the Messiah. But she probably never dreamed that her son was going to be born in the middle of a barn or a stable, along with all of the smells that come along with a barnyard. Joseph, when you look at Joseph, you look at the tradition. I mean, Joseph, we always think he's some poor carpenter, but carpenters in that day were not poor. Most of them were very well sought after trades. The carpenters were very skilled, and they were in very high demand. I've often wondered how Mary and Joseph felt that when they're traveling. We talked about this a little bit at our staff meeting on Tuesday here at church. They were traveling from Nazareth, which was their hometown, to Bethlehem to pay their taxes, so they probably had quite a bit of cash with them. So if you look at yourself, and I don't know what you pay in income taxes, but if you had to travel back to your home city where you were born, so I would have to travel to Henderson, Texas, and pay my taxes as well as whatever income perhaps my wife had made over the year. So if we're traveling from here to Henderson, Texas, I would be traveling with a potload of cash. And many of you would have been traveling the same way with a whole lot of money. They get there, and we know the story. Doesn't matter how you play the story out, the results are the same. They had plenty of money, but there was no place to stay. There was no room. Doesn't matter how much cash you have, doesn't how much resource you have, if you're getting to where you're going and there's no room, they just couldn't find an available place to stay. So regardless of how much money he had or didn't have, there was no room in the end. He could do no better than the options that were given to him. The options that surrounded his wife giving birth in a manger in a meager setting. We read in Luke 2:7, it says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You see, Jesus wasn't born in a palace with servants attending their every need and desire. Mary, she didn't even have a midwife to assist with the delivery of her son. The first people that were there to visit this newborn king were shepherds who were out watching their flock. Shepherds of the day were outcasts. Pretty undesirable. They stunk. They smelled like sheep. Scripture says that the shepherds were amazed by the experience of the angels proclaiming to them the birth of Jesus Christ. At first, they were petrified. Can you just imagine being a shepherd and all of a sudden the heavens light up and all these angelic, you've never seen an angel before in your life? That had to have been absolutely blow your mind freaky. Imagine sitting in your backyard, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the whole sky lights up full of angels, and they start singing. You'd probably come to church and say, "Pastor, I think I saw a whole bunch of UFOs." What does the scripture tell us? Luke chapter 2:8-9, "And there were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about, and they were sore afraid. But you see, when the angel began to speak, everything began to change. The angel says unto them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For I bring good news, great tidings, and instructs them to go into town, into the town of David or Bethlehem. Because there in Bethlehem, they're going to find the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. We read further into the story, and later kings from the east, they brought expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Sometimes we think that these guys just hopped on their camel one night, and the next morning they're there. But this whole event was so miraculous, Brother Simmons, from the very get-go. These guys, these three kings, they had to start their journey a year and a half, maybe even 2 years prior to the birth of Christ. It says it took them, they traveled for almost 2 years before they were able to take and find the Christ child. They left behind their families, security. They obviously, if they were considered kings, they had a pretty prosperous lifestyle. They followed this star for 2 years, through summer, through winter, all kinds of weather, no doubt all kinds of adversities. They said in Matthew 2:2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And we read Matthew 2:10-11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You see, sometimes when you follow your star, as the wise men were following their star, they ended up in a stable. And life is so much that way, isn't it, church? You're awful quiet tonight. But you see, the first point I want to make, the star that you may be seeking, that dream that you may be seeking after, it just may lead you to a stable or to some place of humility in your life. Sometimes the journey that you started out in life, you may be sitting here tonight and maybe this whole year, this whole holiday season, nothing is playing out how you anticipated or planned or thought it was going to be. Maybe your life right now is not anywhere near you thought it would be. That you're on a totally different path and a different goal than you ever, ever imagined you would be on. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, when it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We have to understand something, folks. God sees things that we don't see. God lives at a level and a plane that we don't live at. He understands things that we simply cannot understand. That's why our unquestioned obedience to his command is absolutely essential. Sometimes we try so hard. I just talked this past week sometimes we try so hard to figure out things all on our own. We're used to being self-reliant. We're going to figure this out on our own. And we often mistakenly try to bring God's thought process down to our own thought process. God is up here, and we're down here, and God sees everything at a different point of view. And we're just like, God, can't you just work this way in my life? And we try to give God pointers. God says, you don't understand something. I want you, instead of me coming down to your thought process, I want coming up to mine. I want coming up to my thought process. And God is looking for his church, especially in the age and the day that we live in today. He's looking for his church to stop thinking at our level and start thinking at his level. And make the most. Sometimes life just stinks. Sometimes the situations that we're thrust into, we don't have a choice over those situations. But make the most out of whatever you are dealt, knowing that it is God. God is the one that raises the stakes. God is the one that is in control. And God is the one that offers and makes available in our lives something that is even better. So next, if you're following your star, don't allow circumstances to hinder you from your objective or your goal. Even if you are finding yourself tonight standing in the middle of a stable. Even though we look at the story, the nativity story, the Christmas story, his first visitors were lowly shepherds. People that you probably wouldn't want in your home. But what were they followed up with? They were followed up by great kings. We read that in Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. We need to worship. This is where sometimes we struggle with this. We need to worship God, and no matter our situation, no matter our circumstance. Because circumstances and situations change. But the truth, the word of God, never changes. Never changes. What is Malachi 3:6? It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." We love to quote the scripture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we struggle with that sometimes. Third, when your star leads you to a stable, there's normally one of two reasons why you experience the unexpected. Okay? It could be that God has given you a mid-course correction in your journey. So perhaps tonight, God is making, in some of our lives, God is making a correction of our course. Maybe we've gotten off track over the last year, the last 2 years, the last 5 years. So God is giving a mid-course correction. It also could be that God is providing additional instructions for us to make the right decisions on our journey. So God has to take us from a star to a stable in order to get his point across to us. We read in Romans 8:28. We love this, the Amplified. It says, "We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." I love how the Amplified puts this. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in our labor. So that means God is partnering with us in our lives. And all things work together and are fitting into a plan. They're fitting into a plan. So God is working on all of our lives. And he's fitting all kinds of things into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. We are called according our lives. Once we receive, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we repent, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we speak in other tongues, and we say, "You know, God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life." We put our lives into his hands. Sometimes we struggle because our biggest struggle is we want to keep control of everything. But it's his design and his purpose. Sometimes as life goes on, and there have been many times in my life where I've just got to the point where I'm like, "You know what, Lord, I'm just tired." You ever just tired? You're just ready to just quit? Quit ministry? Quit your job? All kinds of things that we get tired of. We're like, think about how easy it would have been for the wise men to have said, "You know, we've been traveling for a year now looking for this star, following this star, and we haven't found what we're looking for yet. And they just decided that, you know what, let's just go back home. If you know the Christmas story, you know the whole story after the Christmas story, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the three wise men brought were what literally funded Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus as they fled to Egypt to get away from Herod that was going to kill him. So when you think of all of this, these wise men, they couldn't give up. They couldn't. So much was hanging in the balance for them to find and make the connection with Jesus. And so much in our own lives is hanging in the balance for us to find and make that connection. So never, never give up. Never give up on your calling. I talked with someone this past week. I said, you know, just because life has dealt you lemons, you've made some mistakes, does that mean God just decides all of a sudden he doesn't want to use us anymore? When God calls you, God takes you, mistakes and all. You understand that? Mistakes and all. And God desires to take and work through you. And so many times we give up. We give up on ourselves more than anything else. So as you follow your star, don't give up. Keep following it. Keep looking. If it ends up in a stable, so be it. Sometimes your star, when it leads to a stable, it may just be time to sit and reevaluate. Maybe it's time to give something. A lot of times we're used to getting, receiving. We receive the Holy Ghost. We receive blessings from God. We receive all kinds of things. You see, the wise men, understand, they were not moved by where they found Jesus. They were moved by what they found. Did you get that? The wise men, they were not moved by where they found Jesus, but they were moved by what they found, so they gave to him. They gave to him rich gifts, even though they didn't find him in a palace. They gave him rich gifts. Also, when your star leads to a stable, understand you can always find God's grace and mercy. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Understand something. God knows how you feel. He understands our thoughts. He understands our processes. He knows every struggle, every frustration, every shortcoming, every insecurity. Yet he tells us with confidence, come to my throne. I have grace and mercy in our time of need. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne. You are always, 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 we need God's grace and mercy in our lives. And last, when your star leads to a stable, you're going to find out one thing, that God is no respecter of persons. In the two recorded visits of baby Jesus, we find totally opposites. First, we find he was visited by a bunch of shepherds, those who were looked down upon in society. The next, there were three wise men. They were rich. They were from other countries. They were gentle in nature, but rich and poor both came to worship Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter our social status. It doesn't matter how much money we have. Doesn't matter what kind of car we drive. Doesn't matter to God. Rich and poor come to worship him. And he will speak and he desires to speak to all of us. And as our musicians come tonight, you can stand. One final thing as well is when your star leads to a stable, always look for leadership and direction. John 16:13 in the NIV says, "But when he came, the Spirit of truth comes, and he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So if you find yourself tonight and you thought your life was going to be a life of stardom, and you find yourself in a stable, just perhaps maybe you're there because that's where God wants you to be at this point in time in your life. Start to look for God. Most of the time, he's right there in front of us, and we miss him because we're looking for the star when he's laying in the stable. So just a few days before Christmas, when George Bailey says, Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Regardless of where that way may lead you, just allow God's Holy Spirit to guide us along life's journey. Because it just may be what God wants for our stars, chasing after that out of reach dream. Just may be that our stars just might lead us to a stable. And if your star leads you to a stable, that's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay. So tonight, as we just close out, this is just a very simple message. But as we take a little time to pray before we pray, I just want, on behalf of, I know a lot of you after tonight, you're going to be leaving, you're going to be traveling, you're going to be visiting with family. Some of you may be here Friday night, some of you may not be, and that's totally fine. It's not a mandatory service Christmas Eve. It's, if you can make it, be awesome. If you can't, I understand. We got lots of things happening. Our families, but from all of us here at Calvary Gospel Church to our pastoral staff, I just pray that God would give you such a peaceful, blessed Christmas this year. There's so much going on around this church. There's so much. But you know what? In spite of all of this, we've got God. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I don't know how many times in my life chasing that star I ended up in a stable. And it was there in that stable that you find that peace, that leadership, that direction. So as our Sister Sarah sings for us tonight, I just want to open up this altar. It's for time of prayer, time of reflection, perhaps. God bless you.
It is you whom I'll trust at all times.
Again, church, thank you so very, very much for coming out on this Wednesday evening. I wish I could just give you all a big hug, shake all of your hands, but collectively I'm giving you a big hug right now, okay? I love all of you, I appreciate every one of you, and I certainly, sincerely, I just pray that you have a very, very blessed, a safe, blessed and happy, happy, Merry Christmas. And God bless you all. You're able to make it on Friday night, 5 o'clock. It'll be about an hour long service. Brother Derek will be doing some singing for us with a very, very simple service, nothing complex. But I'm excited about it. God bless you. If I don't see you on Friday, be back here on Sunday. Brother Simmons will be speaking on Sunday morning. And I know there's a lot of things happening, so enjoy the holidays. God bless you. And next week, though, is the Winter Youth. Some of you have asked, how come we're not having a service on Wednesday? The Winter Youth Convention is actually here in Madison. It's in Middleton, and I'm not for sure the motel, but if you're, anybody know? Marriott, okay? That is open, so if you'd like to attend that next Wednesday night, you're welcome to drive over to the Marriott and attend with all of the Wisconsin youth. So God bless you. Have a very Merry Christmas.